Bill, in an earlier podcast, we talked generally about the use of social media to support science, particularly science in the public interest or science that was open and available to the public as well as to other scientists. I'd like to ask you now a question about a particular technology, microblogging, most often using the tool Twitter. What have you noticed about scientists and science organizations using Twitter?
Well, Nancy, so there's two things. When I was first involved with Twitter, I was, you just start following people you know and people who they know and things that look interesting. And I started to notice I don't know how, but I just started to notice that some of the organizations that I work with in my NGO work around science and data were Twittering. So I've just started to migrate who I follow and started to find both organizations and people. But there's some very interesting organizations that I think give examples of how to use Twitter, something like Twitter, in a way to get information out, without overwhelming either, the organization itself or the people who happen to be following. You know that one of the most interesting examples when the Mars rover, that little robot was out on Mars when it was operational. Mm-hmm. They actually set the people in the project set up a Twitter account, and they actually had the rover Twittering, like, "Oh, look, today I'm actually going to dig in the dirt. I love this job." And it was probably one of the most wonderful uses of Twitter for both providing information about what's happening and putting kind of an informal face on some fairly sophisticated engineering and scientific research. So it was great.
Why is that informal face important?
Well, because it makes it available to almost anyone, right? It doesn't matter. You can be 6 years old or 86 years old, and you can still, I'm following a robot. I'm actually learning something about what's happening, what it's trying to do on Mars.
How does that change science?
Well, for me, I just think it makes it available.
And that's important because?
Two reasons. One, without science, we're not actually going to be able to get ourselves through the 21st century, basically, as a species. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. And so, secondly, we really need to make it both understandable, accessible, and available to everyone so that they can actually participate in either learning and or maybe even contributing. I think if the general public were much more aware about what science is, how it works, what it produces, what the value is, they might actually have better interactions with their own elected officials. But that's my own personal view. And I also think it's kind of fun. I mean, I've been a scientist, so I like science.
A little bit more about Twitter. Who are some of the organizations that you are following on Twitter that you have found valuable?
Okay, so there's a number of things. So we talked a little bit about, in that earlier podcast, about open access to scientific literature. And so, for example, the National Academies Press is Twittering. And it's not very frequent, but they say, here's a new report about the H1N1 flu. Here's so you get some things that pop up from their library that they're publishing. The Columbia University Center for Digital Research and Scholarship posts things once in a while about their research. The American Scientist Forum, which has been a very, very strong advocate of open access to all research literature, Twitters whenever there's a new organizations around the world are starting to implement mandates about how their research results need to be made available. So this information pops up. See, there's a wonderful project called the Ethnos Project. It's all about computer ICT for D,
Let's spell out the acronym.
Yeah.
Internet Communication Technologies for Development.
Yes, right. Thank you. Anyway, this is it's an advocacy organization, but they post a lot of very interesting results of projects, things that are going on in Africa. There was just a recent posting about some broadband work in Ghana. The Public Library of Science is Twittering. The Encyclopedia of Life is Twittering. The Conservation Biology Institute in Washington, state of Washington, is Twittering. The CDC has got it, is Twittering under CDC Emergency, which puts out the Centers for Disease Control's reports most recently on the H1N1 virus. And also the NASA Ames Space Center is Twittering. These are just a few of the ones that I found.
So I'll get that list from you and share them in the text along with the podcast. If someone was just starting to use Twitter from science or science in the public interest research, what would be your advice to them?
Well, I think two things. One, first, I really like Twitter mostly because it's fast and easy, and you can't ignore the fact that it has a lot of visibility. Mm-hmm. And people can get connected to it very easily. I mean, the social, there's actually quite a few. Well, one thing I left off, for example, in Facebook, the American Academy for the Advancement of Science, which is the publisher of the journal Science, has been on Facebook for a couple of years. They actually have somebody in their office who named themselves the Facebook ambassador of the AAAS, which I thought was fascinating. But Facebook has a little bit more overhead about getting involved. So I think there's some value there, but it's a kind of heavyweight, whereas Twitter is quite lightweight. So I think to the extent that one has I think you need two things. One, you need a website where you actually can post information about what you're doing, and either in a simple blog format or whatever. And then I think the fastest way would be to get a Twitter account that somehow is connected to the title of your organization or your vision, or your mission, and then just send out little notes about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is to start to follow people. Machines aren't Twittering. I mean, I know they are, but most of the time it's people. So people know people. The question, I think your experience has been in Twitter, I think it's part of you spend time, you look around, you follow people. Howard Rheingold once mentioned that the way to really manage just something like Twitter is to look at it like a stream. So there's just a stream of information going by. And, I do that during the day. I just look over there and I spend a little time and I flip around and see what's up. And then I go back to my work. I don't necessarily try and actually keep up with everything that's being tweeted.
No, that would be a full-time job plus.
Yeah, so I think that's a fast way to do it. I think to start following and seeing where that leads you. You will on Twitter. You will if you pick organizations or people that are interested in the work you're interested in doing. You will pick up information that you wouldn't have gotten from other sources.
Those are great tips. Thanks, Bill.
Well, my pleasure.